All right, you guys, welcome to the last and final episode of season one, which is absolutely wild to say. I cannot believe there's a full season out of this podcast now. It's so crazy. I wanted to start off by saying thank you to everybody who has listened or tuned in or subscribed. I just dearly, dearly appreciate you. And I'm so glad you've got to hear these conversations. This has been such a cool opportunity to just sit and listen to some women that I don't think I would have been able to hear their stories otherwise. So this has been such a blessing to get to do. So I'm just really grateful. All right. So for season two, wanted to let y'all know that we are going to have more consistency with the audio because we are leveling it up. We're going to get new mics, new equipment, new camera. It's going to be great. I'm really pumped for that. So we might take a little bit more of a break before starting out season two. We've already recorded the first like four episodes of it. And the first one is with my mentor and her husband, who have an absolutely incredible testimony together. And so I can't wait for y'all to hear from them. That's how we're going to start off season two. So y'all are going to have to tune in for that. So this is the last episode I recorded while I was in Brazil, and it is with my dear friend Clacy, and she is just sharing her heart on the importance of saying yes to the Lord and trusting Him even when you have no idea what's next. You guys are going to love it. You're going to love her. We are sitting outside when we recorded this, so you're going to have to forgive the audio is a bit staticky at the beginning, but you can make out what she's saying, so stay tuned. It's worth it, I promise. Y'all enjoy it. This is Clacy.
So how do we meet, Anna?
Let me tell you.
My voice is so horrible, by the way. It's not my real voice.
What
it's kind of like I'm translating the whole event.
Oh,
so
yes.
Like, so yeah, bear with me.
You've been doing a lot. Clacy's
been like I feel like I'm a journalist. You know, like, you know, in Brazil, I have this program. It's called De Frente com Gabi.
Okay.
De Frente com Ana. So let's go.
What is that mean?
Like front one by one with Anna, something like that
would be the okay. Yeah, Clacy is head of the translation team.
Yeah,
so there's a whole squad of people who have been helping us Americans out who came for the event.
Us Americans.
So Clacy has been heading that up. Yeah. So y'all have been working a lot. But okay, so This is Clacy. Clacy and I met here in Sao Paulo, and she was our translator. I was here on a work trip with my dad, and Clacy was our translator.
Yep.
So we stuck together because there was a bunch of men.
Exactly.
On that bus the whole time.
Only girls.
The only
girls.
Girls.
Yeah.
And Larissa.
Larissa.
She joined us, which was nice. But so we got really tight really fast, and it was just kind of one of those friendships where we're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll be seeing more of each other.
I met her my whole life, basically. And mind you guys, I just had quit my job because long story short, I was working at a cool job, like high paying job. Like, so doing amazing things. I had just come back from San Francisco and amazing, by the way. And I went to Greece the year before. It was a cool job. I was really corporate girly, you know, boss thing, all of that. But I remember, like, at the beginning of 2024, I look at, like, the people I work with, especially the women, and I was like, God, I don't want that for my life. I don't want that anxiety. I don't want what they are having. You know, I remember one day at the office, I just looked at, I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that woman or so needy and so empty, essentially, right. Like so empty of joy, of grace and beauty. I mean, they could look beauty.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A beauty queen even, but they didn't have beauty. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, like, I mean, there's girls that are radiant. You meet them in your
exactly,
life.
Like, you know, but there's they were empty. They were almost like a zombie. So I remember like looking at that. And I was like, God, I don't want this. And I know God, He pulled me away. and then a lot of things happened. Very toxic environment, mind you. Toxic. Like, toxic. And there were things that I was just not comfortable in doing. Like, I'm not going to lie, you know, to do my job. I'm not going to be flirty.
Yeah.
So I can like charm the clients and actually be flirty and put myself in the situation.
Right.
And my honest opinion, hot take, this is prostitution in my eyes. So, like, you know,
I mean, if you're me, I mean, honestly, like, yeah, think about it. Like, if you're using your body and you're like,
oh,
women,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
features
could be a form of it, right?
To like,
come
get
on,
your way.
That's not, I was not going to do that.
But that was happening a lot in your work.
That was a lot. And the pressure for me to become that person
Yeah.
Like, that's why you're not hitting your goals. That's why you're not a good employee.
Dang.
Girl, it was horrible. And I remember crying every day to work. Like,
yeah.
I never felt this, like, crying, sobbing from 30 minutes going, 1 hour in the car, because, you know, São Paulo traffic is crazy.
Yeah.
1 hour going to my job and coming back, crying. Yeah. Burnout, of course, I was in therapy as well. Really helped.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of therapy. My counselor, she was Christian, amazing. She confronted me so bad. and I started realizing that all the things that I was living were things that were not aligned with the identity God has given to me.
Yeah.
Unique identity, because we do have our group identity as a church. But the things that make Lacey unique, like we were talking all the way through these days. So I was unhappy.
Yeah.
And not because, I mean, it was not, I don't know how to explain this sadness, but I knew it was because I was not obeying God.
Right.
I was not living what God wanted me to live. And I was sad. I was sick because of it.
Yeah.
And I remember reading James on how you can burn your sin.
Yeah.
And I realized that I had just birthed a sin.
Hi, helicopter.
Anyways, I remember that I read that verse and I was like, oh, I think I birthed a sin. I think I have a baby and his baby is sin. You know, like disobedience. So I was reading James and James literally says, like, you plan out the sin in your head. You think about it. You let it stay in your head. And then you give birth to that sin. And for me, as a woman, nurturing, giving birth, I was like, oh, so I can birth sin.
Yeah.
Wow. Or I can birth life.
That's crazy.
You know? So I was like, I'm birthing sin.
Yeah.
Look at me. And then I was reading, of course, I don't remember the exact verse. Your girls can help me. But where it says that disobedience and rebellion is like witchcraft for the Lord, right? Was my daily devotional that day. And I was like, I don't want to be a witcher. I don't want to be a witch.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a witch, you know. So I really didn't
say that.
The Bible says that
sin is
exactly, but rebellion, it's like witchcraft for the Lord.
Whoa.
So can you imagine live a life of disobedience? You're practicing magic, dark magic. And that's the association I did in my head. I was like, okay, God, I get it now. And for at least for a girl, and when you're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there are a couple of things that he will ask you that he might not ask anybody else, but he will ask you and it will make you sick. And I was reading Corinth because I love Corinth. I'm always there.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was talking about sexual immorality and all of that and how those sins would make you sick.
Yeah.
And I was like, doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading Psalms and I was looking at David like cry and like be so dramatic, and I was reading, I was like, oh my God, David is so dramatic. This boy, so dramatic.
Yeah, he's an emotional man.
My sin, it's making me sick. I cannot breathe. I cannot. And I was like, and then the Holy Spirit was like, hold on, is he really being dramatic?
Yeah.
And then I looked looked at my life.
Yeah.
It was exactly what David was just describing that he was feeling. Anxious, worried. God is not talking to me. Why do you don't respond to my prayers?
Yeah.
Why you left me? Why?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, God, I'm being a drama queen like David. So I get it. And then it hit me like sin does make you sick.
Yeah.
It can make you sick.
Yeah. Physically sick.
Physically sick.
Yeah.
I was crying, sobbing, like, every day.
Yeah.
So then I was like, you know what? Quit my job. My family, my parents, my mentors here at church, everybody was like, you need to quit. You need to quit. You need to quit. And, of course, it was a process to me. I had to, like, have the Lord talk to me.
Yeah.
Had the Lord, like, you know, show me the Bible, because I was that kid, you know, Dad, I'm only obeying if you prove me in the Bible. So
yeah,
I had to prove it a lot of things in the Bible.
Yeah.
But I love the Bible now. I love the Word of God because of it. But anyways, God talked to me and he showed me a lot with my job. And then Pastor Jill, which is Larissa's dad, he said, Clacy, I need to help with the translator. You know, the Kendricks are coming.
So this happened right before we
exactly.
Came.
Literally the week before. And I was struggling already. I was literally at the edge. So when he messaged me, I was like, Pastor, I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
And
it was one or the other.
Couldn't keep my job and translate. And I couldn't. And I was like, and I remember in March, I prayed, God, I want you to stretch me in faith in my career. Because I have a calling for kingdom business and, you know, doing business for the Lord. My family, definitely not a business family. By the way, I was feeling so not the girl for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted God to test my faith because I told God, I cannot go and not be ready for this. I need to learn to trust you that you are my provider, not my job, not my career, not my strength, not what I do, what I don't do. Right. I need you to provide. So God, like, quit, but don't have anything aligned.
Mm.
Don't have an offer. Don't look for jobs until December. That was the deadline. So I literally quit my job, and next Monday I was with Anna.
Wait,
I quit like on a...
Gosh, that was such a quick
I remember
Which, I quit. By the way, it was unpaid. Like
I was happy. Exactly.
Technically, it was unpaid.
Yeah.
When you took it. And so...
Yeah. So I was like, I was really in it for the service. You know, I was in it for the yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to geek out a little bit. I love War Room. So it's
kind of
like...
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to lie, because it was the first time, at least in Brazil, watching a Christian movie with the lady that looked like my grandma. So
Miss Clara.
Uh-huh. So representation really meant a lot to me in that movie. And it was not intentional, but it was so real, so truth. Yeah. And it was an American movie. She looked like my grandma, and you know, felt like home for real. And then The Forge was like even the similar situation of seeing people that look like my cousins, my uncles, and all of that. So, dear to my heart, especially Cass. Huge fan of Priscilla Shire, by the way. Like, I want to be here.
We all do.
Yeah, like, she's gorgeous. She's but anyway, so I was happy about it. And I had no expectations. I didn't thought you would come. Like, I thought it was going to be your dad, probably your uncle.
Coming, yeah. Right?
So that was that. And then you were there and we started talking, and I remember I was such a crier during the trip. I feel so embarrassed because I was crying all the time.
And we had a lot of deep conversations on
Stephen
that
and I, like, they were such pastors to me. Like, we were joking with Anna, like, they're tios, because here in Brazil we call everybody tios that are
uncle
and stuff like that. So they're tios, and they were being like that, so kind and so like, Clacy, I don't forget your dad telling me this. Like, don't forget the little things, like the small steps day, you know, like small beginnings, right?
Yep.
Don't forget that, and God will provide. And I was like, yeah. And then we started talking about women, and then Clacy, Washington, 1 million women.
Yes, a million women.
Yes.
It was crazy. In Washington, D.C. I was planning on going to, so I showed her a video because I was like, her heart really aligns with what this conference is all about, and so or what this gathering is about. And so I showed her. She starts boohoo crying at the table, and she's like, "I have
such
to go
a
today.
Crier.
I have to go." And I kind of thought you'd be like, "Oh, that's awesome," but when you started saying that, I was like, "Oh, this girl actually would come." So that's how we stayed in touch after Brazil.
Exactly. And then I invited them to come to Brazil. By the way, that's why we're here. So yes, and 1 million women. Was incredible because honestly, the amount, well, you guys were seeing that, like, I was sobbing so many times and I was going in that journey of like identity, especially for women. Cause I remember praying, one of my prayers during that year was like, God, I don't want my kid to look at me and inherit my low self-esteem. I don't want her to hate herself. I don't want her to have these issues. Yeah. I want her to have her own thing. Like, I want her to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I want her to look at her mom and see that I'm confident, I'm courageous.
Yeah.
But that's not who I am right now.
Mm.
I still kind of hate myself. You know, I still don't like what I see in the mirror. Still don't think you call me to be what you call me to be.
That's such a cool perspective, though, and such a good way to check yourself to see if you're in a mentally healthy place. It's like, I wouldn't want my daughter to inherit
like
views.
She's gonna look at me crying, you know, about my hair. You know, you cannot lie to a kid,
right?
So, and I wanted to do all of that before I was 30, by the way. I'm almost 30. So yeah. I know God really brought me to that path. Yeah. And I was like, it has to be before 30 because that's Jesus' age. Yeah. Jesus had everything figured out at 30. And I know I can't do it, God. So like, you know.
He didn't have it figured out.
It has to be before 30.
So that's like, your goal. That's your goal.
You have a timeline. I was like, yeah, you know what? Brazil, here's the thing. I'm going to be 30 and Brazil's going to win the World Cup in America, by the way. But anyways, I wanted to be before 30 and everything. I remember asking God for friends exactly like you girls. And Livia is here. Mm-hmm. One of our friends are here.
Yeah.
So I honestly,
she knows
all of this. She's like, I'm watering down. But anyways, I wanted girls just like that.
Yeah.
So divine connections and experiment real friendship with women with no comparison, no hate, like no competitiveness.
You feel like that's rare to find here?
I think it's rare to find anywhere.
Okay.
Because our biggest demon is comparison.
That's true.
And if you read a lot about women in the Bible, even Mary, when the angel spoke to her, she's like, okay. And one day I was hearing about Mary, like she was 16. I bet it went through her head. Like, can I do this? Am I the person to do this?
Yeah.
And she didn't have her life for precious because her reputation was ruined because of Jesus.
Right.
Everybody thought that she was like an adulteress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably Jesus's brothers, they were like, we hate you because look at the suffering you're bringing upon our mom.
Yeah.
But I bet she didn't care.
Right.
She didn't have her life for precious.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what, God, my reputation, gone.
Yeah.
You know? My morale, like whatever people think of me, gone.
Right.
On this, I'm ready. Here I am. And I bet she was willing to even do that by herself.
Mm.
I know, like if Joseph hasn't, you know, she was saying yes without even considering like what Joseph's answer would be at that point.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
But you can correct me if I'm biblically incorrect. No, I think
the angel
kind of right.
The Lord came to Joseph.
Talk to her first.
And confirmed. Yeah.
So when I was reading about it and I love Luke because Luke is like such a good storyteller. And I was reading, I was like, I want to be like this woman. And I was like, you know what, God, my job, you gave my life. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why am I trying to control it?
Yeah.
Like, there's no point. So I'm going to do it. And God has brought me to this. And I don't know who's going to hear this, but I'm almost 30. I'm single. I don't know how it's in America. How's that? But
it's pretty common.
It's always a thing. Like, oh, you're past 25 and where's your boo?
Right. No, it's become a lot more common.
Yeah. And I know times are hard. This is something that I work in prayer a lot, basically every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask, like, Jesus, I want to fall in love with you. I even did a list with the help of my friend Livia to guard my heart.
Oh, it's actually so cool.
And the list basically,
I took them out last night.
Yeah, basically, you need to put things there are in the Bible. So whatever you put there, it has to be backed by a Bible verse. And this really helped me because when I finished, I looked at the man that I had wrote it down and was Jesus all over it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can share.
The thing is to align your expectations with what the Bible says that a godly man should be. So sometimes we have a lot of expectations. I don't know, like manly based. Unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
But we need to have the Bible as our statement.
Yeah.
So
that's the standard.
What we are expecting. Are we expecting the same that God wants us to, you know?
So, right.
Yes.
That's so good. I've never thought to do that. You know, you hear about people making lists all the time. Yeah. And then I heard that lists were bad.
Oh.
Like, you don't need all these expectations.
Yeah, you need to do it.
But then when you said that, you're like, I went and found scripture with all of it. Like, I found scripture on relationships and what a man of
even
God
appearance.
Like.
Even physical appearance.
Yeah. What you want, you should have.
Right.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be what you want. It should
be what.
So I thought that was amazing. We stayed up till almost 4 a.m. last night talking. I'm so tired. And we have to go into service after this.
You should do an episode only with the list. But anyways, I look at the list and when I cried when I finished writing it, because I was like, Jesus, that's you. I want you. I want my heart to desire you. Mm-hmm. And girls, when I'm telling you that I'm experiencing a different level of fulfillment with Jesus, I literally, before this conference, I was praying. I was feeling very insecure about a stupid thing. By the way, I got a new job and it was amazing.
Yeah, the Lord provided. Okay, yeah. That's exactly what
real
you prayed
for. I could, but I'm working out. Perfect job. Exactly what I asked. I was even thinking, it was not even a prayer. I thought about it. God gave it to me, by the way.
So I was like,
starting my job, and now I will call the shots a lot. They respect me, by the way.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
So I need to call the shots. I'm a brand communication strategist. I experienced the healing experience, all the trauma from a former job. This new job is like amazing. So I'm calling the shots. I'm a strategist for branding and branding management, essentially. And then I was like, so insecure about something to send them to approve. And I was like, Benny Gamsey. And then all the thoughts, like the spiral thought that we talked last night, they came. Like, oh, therefore, I'm ugly. Therefore, I'm useless. Therefore.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Jesus. And then I stopped. I was like, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
And that was the day that I read Luke 21.
Okay.
And they were Luke 21 talks about Jesus is talking about his coming. He's returning, right? And verse 29 says that, well, he's talking about all the bad things that will start happening. People, well, it will be horrible. We'll be in this constant state of anxiety, which I kind of feel that we are as a society.
Yeah. Like, oh, 100%.
People are all worried about, you know?
Yeah. Oh, anxiety is worse now than ever.
Exactly. Yeah. Worrying about tomorrow, money. And Jesus says, when you feel like this, look up. When those things start to happen, so when everything starts to panic and you feel like you're stuck and you're spiraling, look up and raise your head and keep your head raised. I looked at the original text and says that raise and fix. Like, so it's two verbs.
Okay.
In Greek. Raise and fix and keep
it raised. Then lock
raised.
In there. Yeah.
So keep it raised. That's so good. Don't even look down anymore. So I was like, okay. The world is falling apart right now. My emotions are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, I choose to look at you and I choose to keep looking at you. Help me. And I'm using that verse every time now this week that I'm feeling anxious. And I'm like, but my Lord is coming. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
The lover of my soul is coming. And he said that I can look at him and keep looking at him so I can stay calm, so I can breathe, so I can, like, you know, have this breath of fresh air. So I mean, of course, I'm still praying and guarding my heart.
Yeah.
But after this, like, I love Jesus so much, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's my man already.
yeah, you can tell.
My husband will never be able to fulfill that big hole that was left that only Jesus can fulfill.
Yeah.
So, like,
unfair expectation.
Exactly. So even that. Yeah. So Jesus is fulfilling all of it.
That's so good.
And
I want to add this real quick. Well, we were talking about spiraling last night, and how, like, that trail of thoughts when you start, you know, whether it's self-hatred or just insecurities, or, you know, I feel like I should be married now and I'm not. It's like learning to take your thoughts captive, and practicing that now is going to affect, I know we talked about this on another episode, but it affects your future when you are married. Mm-hmm. Like, if you learn to take thoughts captive now, it'll change the way, like, I feel like in marriage, when you're spiraling with your husband, you know,
you're choose one person,
training yourself to do that now is going to make you so much better in your marriage. That's one true. Day, too.
Even with our kids, right?
Oh, yeah. I feel like in every area, every field, it's so worth it to practice that now.
In your siblings. And I mean, I can... But what I want to say to girls that probably are my age or, you know, so afraid of the 3.0, which is, I don't know if we're so scared about it. By the way, we're talking that the more you have the Holy Spirit, the younger you look. So don't worry.
That's
girls.
That's so
filled,
true.
It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be fine. You don't need Botox or, like, just Holy don't Spirit. Put your face.
It's
like,
real.
If you have, no judgment. But if you want to remove it, like, God can feel even that. So anyway. That's a trigger line, right?
Both of us.
These are filler.
Right.
But anyways.
No, that was great.
That's so cool that I can still make jokes in English, because sometimes I feel self-conscious about it. Anyway, they work better in Portuguese sometimes.
Yeah.
But so, like, if you're going through it, just have the Bible as your, like, honestly is a sword.
Yeah.
It's actually a sword. The fate and the faith in it is your shield. Mm-hmm. And when I learned that the shield actually you hold up like this.
Yeah.
You leave one eye so you can like straighten up your vision. That's how they fought, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to like block one eye so you can see straight.
Yeah.
Don't let it be a third eye.
Yeah.
And you can hold your shield like this. All the darts will be destroyed. So all spiraling thought will be destroyed. So girls, I encourage you to like read your Bible. Go deep in the Bible. Don't be satisfied with just, oh, I did my devotional. No.
Right.
If God is making you stuck in the verse like he did to me, go after that verse. Go like, look the original meaning.
Grab your commentary.
Exactly. Yeah, grab your commentary. Mm-hmm. Go see another sermon.
Find someone who knows
the word of God. Yes. And most importantly, be accountable to someone. Here in our church, we're very big on discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that we are accountable to, like our friends, but also if you're leading other people, mm-hmm. you have to have someone that you are accountable.
Yeah.
So talk to those people. Talk to those mentors. Call your friends. Call your mom. Call your tias. Call your tias and call your aunties and women in life. That's why I love your podcast so much, because it's like, I'm talking to a tia now.
They all feel like that. Yeah.
I'm listening to a tia talking to me. Ministering to me. So go for the source and don't give up. God loves you. Mm-hmm. We are unique. And even like yesterday here at the conference, God talked about this again. He broke off so many words about my life. The weight of being perfect. You don't have the luxury to make a mistake. You have to get it right. All the military background that I carry sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a military, retired. So all that pressure. It's going to make you explode.
Yeah.
And can make you explode in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that explosion can destroy you for real. And I'm a living proof of that. It destroyed me. But God has rebuilt me. And I know that the new wine that he has for me is not for an old vessel. It's for a new vessel.
Yeah.
You cannot put old wine in new vessels because they're going to break.
Yeah.
So the vessel and the wine has to be new.
Yeah.
So go for it. Don't give up. Times are crazy. I know. Like, read Luke 21 whenever you're feeling like, I'm going to die. Politics, my job, my relationship. Everybody's getting married. Everybody has a calling.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. Oh, I'm feeling ugly. I don't feel like people will like me. I'm not going to be chosen. All of that.
Yeah.
Just go for the scripture and look up. Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Our Savior is coming. He's the lover of our soul. He got this, and he's gonna avenge us all the injustice done in our lives, all the injustice that were made to me, my family. My family has a lot of complicated history with race here in Brazil. It's kind of sad, and everything that happened to them. So that was a thing for us, but God has delivered me through it, and I broke that off.
Yeah.
I broke all the alignments.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And for my generation, and I said, God's gonna stop with me. I'm going to be the last one.
Yep.
I'm going to be the last one going through this
horrible,
low self-esteem spirals, paralyzing fear, not believing I can do it. And I know that my Redeemer lives. He's coming back and I can count on him to be the man I need in every need, every emotional, spiritual. So like he can be that. He can be that for
absolutely.
Us. So that's it.
That's so good. Yeah. I feel like marriage. Me and Christian were in bed the other night and just laying there. I was on the bottom trundle. I was just like, you know, I feel like marriage is a cherry on top for life.
Definitely.
It shouldn't be.
It's not the main thing.
It's not like the cake. It's
no.
Like, it's the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
But in our heads, it is like
it's a blessing.
Yes.
It's a treasure.
Yeah. But it's not what it's about.
No.
It's genuinely not.
Our
and that's,
lives.
I'm like, that's.
We were called to make crazy. Disciples. So whether you're married or not or single dance and Paul says, like, honestly guys, don't get married.
No, I know.
Like, so you know, live your single life for the Lord and be a woman of the Lord for the Lord. So that's my goal right now. I don't care the chaos that is happening like around me in my country and you know my family, whatever. I'm gonna be a woman of God, for God and to his kingdom. And I want to like keep growing the prophetic and going after, going deeper.
Yeah.
I want to have more experiences And I want to be able to go to heaven, meet the lover of my soul and my savior, and finally rest.
Right.
You know, and finally enjoy the treasures. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know there's a lot that we could have touched, but this one was way too long.
No, this was great. This was
But I just want to, like, I don't know if anyone that is going through a transition right now, me, Lord is kind of giving me this vision. So, if you're listening to this and you're going through the same transition, and you are at the edge of making a tough decision, but you already know it, just go for it. God is going to give you peace.
Yeah.
Go for your Bible. Don't be scared. He's with us.
Yeah.
His strength can make us strong. So
yeah,
don't give up, girls. It's going to be fine. Yeah. We're going to be in heaven all together at the end. That's Amen. It.
That's so true.
And also something really...
Yeah.
Something really big on Clay's history is about the...
You're right up close to it.
Yes. Something is about the prayer. Because I was just listening to all the stories that I already had listened before. Mm-hmm. But I just love hearing her share her testimony. And you always see this pattern, this prayer, Bible, accountability, family. And I've been blessed by her family with their, like, let's just get around and pray. Like,
they're like, let's stop talking, let's just pray.
No, random day of a week. Her sister living in one house. We went to her ex-boss's, former boss's
apartment. And I was like, guys, I need prayer. And they all,
so
like,
they just drove there.
Like,
just
miles
to pray and leave.
To pray
Yes, and I know we have other matters to cover, but you guys notice always the prayer.
Yeah.
It's
key. It's key.
I know. And it's true.
Yeah, I have to do a better job of just stopping the moment. Being like,
that helps me so much.
Yeah.
It helps me. Actually, that's the only thing that got me out of the crisis, the panic attacks and all of that. I went to the bathroom and then I started like... I had a list of things about my identity that I wanted to be reminded of. It's not a mantra, but I was speaking the verse. It was a Bible verse, and I was praying over me, declaring calm, and then I came back to my work. So it really helps, like, if you're, of course, like, do your counseling, but to continue the management, God needs to be a big part of the equation of healing and finding our identity. And if you don't mind, I think I want to pray for girls.
Yes.
My relay. Or
please do.
You know.
Which
if
is
you know someone
everybody
that is going through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Please do. Let's do it.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for uniting us as a global church. Thank you because we will be one people in heaven. Every tribe, every nation, every language, everything will bow down to you and say that you are King. You are Jesus, the Redeemer, the King. So I'm so excited for that day in heaven with my sisters around the world. And thank you so much for Anna for Christ-like connections and heavenly connections. So I want to pray right now for anyone that is hearing this and that is going through a transition time, that is like trying to figure it out things before an important decision, before their marriage, I don't know, anything. I just pray that you help us and help them to look at you and keep their head looking at you so they can forget the horrible things that are happening in this earth, the chaos, the worrying, the anxiety, the bad things that are happening, the grief, you know, the hurt of relationships, God, everything, Lord, and for all the hurting ladies that might be hearing this prayer, I just ask you, God, that they rise up their heads right now and they can see you, so they can see you, Jesus, and that you be the man that they need in every aspect, so they can look at you and trust you and keep their hope up and fired up and waiting and longing for your return, Jesus. That's all we want. We want to be women of God, for the kingdom of God, that are looking up and waiting for your return. And we cannot wait to be with you, Jesus. And in your name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Me too.
I love my girl Clacy, y'all, and I'm so thrilled you got to hear from her. And Olivia was there too. You got to hear a bit from her. She is my age, but so stinking full of wisdom. We would be up at the kitchen table till like 3-4 in the morning, and I would be literally taking notes on what she was saying because it was just so good. But yeah, just so excited you guys were able to hear from them. And I did want to reference the verse that Cleese brought up in 1 Samuel. I believe it's 1 Samuel 15:23, and it's talking about disobedience and rebellion being equivalent to witchcraft and idolatry. And I thought that was really extreme and did not remember ever reading that in scripture. And so I went and looked it up, and sure enough, it does say that. So if you want to go check the context, go look at it, because for me, when I went back and read it, I was like, God is not playing around when he's telling us to obey and listen. Like, if we're asking him to move and we're claiming to be followers and we're asking to hear his voice, we've got to go back to the last thing that he told us to do and obey before he's going to continue speaking, I think. That's my opinion. But yes, go check it out for yourselves. But guys, we're going to wrap up season one right here. I cannot believe this is the end of it. I'm just so grateful you guys have tuned in. So grateful you guys have listened. And I just pray that you are blessed by these conversations. So until next time, guys, it'll be season 2. I'll see you then.